Wow, this Tech Wake Forest game is getting bonkers. Hour number two of the program here, Chris Thomas Turtle, with you until 6:30. Wow, we are in overtime. It is 30-29 with an extra point pending. Georgia Tech, Haynes King ran it in, kicked the extra point, and now Wake Forest on their first offensive play, contained, busted, and a touchdown was scored by the Deeks, and now it is pending a review and an extra point. It looks like the running back who took it in, Claiborne, got banged up, and we shall see. I'll keep you posted. But this one, not exactly how you drew it up if you're Georgia Tech. Again, if you missed it in the first hour, they went into this game as 13.5-point favorites, and they slept walk their way to the fourth quarter, and then the offense decided to wake up. So this is what you get, unfortunately, and it's surprising. Brent Key's staff and coaches and players usually always prepared, always up to meet the moment, but not today they weren't, unfortunately. So now we're in overtime, pending the extra point. We will
Looks like they're going for two. They're trying to end this thing right now.
Going for two. Wow.
At home against a ranked opponent. Let's just get this thing over with.
Wow. What a.
Here we go. Can we do play by play? We got to keep our license.
We cannot do play by play.
All sucks.
But once this game is over, we will certainly give you the result of what happened. I want to wait to start the five NFL.
Well, I think we got a reprieve because it looks like somebody called a timeout.
Yeah, it looks like there's a timeout coming here. So we'll see what happens. Man, this is crazy. Because, you know, it's just if they do lose this game, what a shame.
Yeah.
I mean, what a shame.
Mm-hmm.
You have everything's right in front of you. Florida State loses last night. It's essentially you and Miami.
Mm-hmm. You should be cementing your – I said in my show, you should be cementing the fact that you and Miami, you're the cream of the crop in ACC this year. And it's tough. You know, I interviewed a high school team last night. I said, okay, guys, this is the deal. Now you have expectations.
Right.
It's tough when you got to – when you're the underdog and you're coming up, oh, that's a great story. Now teams – people expect you to win. Gets a little harder. Right now, everybody expects – Georgia Tech to win these games, and like you said, win them easily.
But it shouldn't be hard against Wake Forest. That's the thing. It shouldn't be hard against Wake Forest.
No, it shouldn't. It shouldn't.
You go into that game, and you are a 13.5-point favorite, and you cannot get it done.
Yeah. Maybe they read their own press clippings. Maybe they, you know, were thinking their poo-poo don't have any more odor. But they got to woke up today, and they just want it.
And they just won it.
They just won it.
It is a final now, 30-29. You got to give Wake credit, man. They went for all the marbles. They said, we're not going to have this thing go to 8 overtimes and have Haynes King just run us over and over again. They went for it. They got a great job by the Tech defense. They got pressure right away. The QB was trying to scramble, almost gets sacked, and then just has to throw it away, and he threw it right into the arms of a Georgia Tech defender. So great job by Tech hanging on. I'm sure Brent Key is going to have a lot to say after this one about the way his squad came out. And Robbie Ashford, unfortunately, was not able to get a signature win for his squad this week. All right, we will get you caught up on that and a whole lot more going on in college football a little bit later in the program. But right now, we got to get to five NFL true and false questions.
Which teams in the ATL will make you cheer?
Which ones will make you cheer?
It's time for five true or false questions on Chris Thomas Tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, this segment is not about teams in ATL because definitely some cheering and jeering in that one. I like that opening. This is going to go around the shield, the NFL, as Chris said. Let's do an NFL true or false. So I'm going to start with this one. I'm going back to your hometown, your home city.
Oh,
true or false? The Giants are the worst team in New York, not the Jets.
False. The Jets suck. It's unbelievable that they're going to be this bad again. They're going to win four games this year, E.
What? Four?
Four games.
Where are you
maybe.
Getting that from? Maybe. Where are you getting that from?
Maybe.
They can beat the Patriots two times and then the Dolphins two times. There you go.
Well, they got the Dolphins on maybe the worst
Monday night football.
One of the worst Monday night football games you'll ever see. Two teams going nowhere fast. Justin Fields is going to play, though. He cleared concussion
He's
protocol.
Back.
I'm going to say the Giants are better just because of the hope of Jackson Dart. If he's as good as he looked in the preseason, they're on to something. And even if they're not good this year, they'll be good next year.
Yeah.
When they build everything around him. Andrew Thomas is back for the Giants as well, so we'll have his big left tackle, Georgia boy, protecting him. And maybe Malik Nabers will have a game because he had two catches for 13 yards last week. So you got to get him involved. And with Jackson Dart and that rocket that he has, he'll be slinging it all across the field. So I'm going to say the Jets once again get the lucky title of the worst team in New York.
All right, keep it going on True and False NFL edition. All right, true or false, the Indianapolis Colts are the biggest surprise of the first 3 weeks of the NFL season.
I think you have to say true, and it's not just because of Daniel Jones, although he's been amazing. You know they've punted once. In
That's a great
games.
Stat. No, I did not know that. Yeah, I mean, wow.
It's incredible.
Wow.
They've had 19 drives and they've punted once. It's the defense, too. Defense is bringing it. Jonathan Taylor looks revitalized. People kind of fell off on him because he keeps getting hurt.
Yep.
But he's a top five.
After they paid him, he keeps getting hurt.
He's a top five running back when he's healthy, and he's healthy right now. So they got Pittman. They got the tight end that they drafted from Penn State. So I think
Tyler Warren.
Yeah, Tyler Warren. So I like them this year. Plus, that division sucks.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to roll through a division title. And, yeah, by far the biggest surprise in the NFL.
All right. I mean, and they're going to seriously have a – if they roll to a division title, they got a quarterback controversy for sure.
No, they don't.
They just release him. He's done. Anthony Richardson, we appreciate
your
time.
They're going to give Daniel Jones a fat new contract, and he's going to be their quarterback.
And Richardson.
Because he's not – Daniel Jones is not old.
No, he's not.
Is he 27, 28 years old?
He's just showing everybody, get me out of New York, and I'm actually pretty good.
Huh, wow. How about that? Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, everybody can agree with that.
All right, keeping it going on NFL edition of True and False. On Chris Thomas tonight during the afternoon. The True or False. The Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl window is not just shut, but it is slammed shut.
Oh, no. False. They're fine. They're starting to get their weapons back. Mahomes is going to have his let's see. I'm going to look at their schedule real quick. NFL, let's go to the Kansas City Chiefs. They are playing.
Oh, I can tell you.
What a game.
I can tell you.
Yeah, how about that? So on 10-6 versus Jacksonville, Patrick Mahomes will have his first four touchdown game of the season.
Yeah, he's not going to have it Sunday night?
No.
No. Okay, good. No. I'm glad
Although,
you said that. I'll keep your mic on.
What's up with your boys on defense?
Derrick Henry's getting paid to fumble. Well,
no, but
defense,
the
I don't know about it. Yeah,
what's
yeah.
going on it's with the defense?
The defense wakes up in the second half of the season. They did this last year. I think the first six of the games, they were the worst defense in the NFL. In the last 10, they were the best defense in the NFL. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Calvin Noy needs to bring it. Warquan Smith's. He's a stud, but he has games where you're like, dude, can you make a tackle?
And they just paid Kyle Hamilton.
And he's the best safety in the league at making tackles 10 yards down the field. That's what Kyle Hamilton does.
Yeah.
Okay? He's not going to let anybody get past him, but he makes tackles 10 yards down the field. That's what he does. Man. It's going to be – but if the Ravens beat the Chiefs tomorrow, I think the window is shut. If the Chiefs win, they still can get back to it.
To me, it's a situation of you got to beat the man to beat a man. And there's too much season left for me to write them off. Like, it's just – they've done it every year. Mahomes is not anywhere near out of his prime. He's played a lot of football, and he's got a lot of tread on those tires. But, again, Mahomes is what, 28 years old? Like, he is not –
I think he's closer to 30 than that.
Is he closer to 30?
Yeah, I think he's close. I think he actually might be 30, but – I think okay, you. I think you.
Yeah, he's 30. He okay. just turned. 30.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got another what? 8 years.
He should because he's never no major injuries, right?
No, so minimum in the NFL. I mean, you would think. I mean, he's not done. Now Travis Kelce is probably done.
Yeah,
but
this is a swan song. This is the farewell tour.
Mahomes is going to win at least another Super Bowl in his career.
All right. Listen to this. These are the records of this division. 3-0, 3-1, 2-1, and a shockingly 2-2. Those are the records of the teams in the NFC West. So true or false, the NFC West is the toughest division in football this year.
NFC North would have been my answer before the year.
The Bears just don't look like
it. Bears don't look it. The Vikings don't look it. Even with Wentz doing what he did last week, I don't buy it. Maybe the AFC North, I think. Well, not without Burrow.
And the Browns are the Browns. And the Browns are the Browns.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once Jaden Daniels gets healthy, is it the NFC East?
With the Giants and the Cowboys?
Yeah, but the top two teams are Super Bowl contenders.
Talking about the division, sir. Talking about the division. Top to bottom.
Yeah.
Because the Cardinals should have won Thursday. Yeah, they should have won Thursday.
But the problem is they don't. It's not just that game that they don't win. They do it against the Falcons, but they don't do it against anybody else. Yeah, I guess so, right? I mean, Seahawks look legit. Rams look legit. Niners are getting healthy. So, yeah, I think you'd have to say so.
That's crazy. Crazy. I was looking at it like, oh, my God. Everybody, I mean, that's probably a three-team playoff division. I think there were a three-team playoff division at least 2 years ago. So,
well, if the NFC North doesn't get its act together, like the Packers can't lose to the Browns.
Mm.
Like, that's embarrassing.
But that is who they beat last. That's what the Packers, they did beat the Browns, and they played the Lions this week, so. I mean, the Browns could just be dragon slayers for some reason. All right, keeping it going here. Not Falcons, true or false. NFL, true or false. How many have we done? We've done three, we've done four. I've got two more to go. All right, well, how about this one? Should everyone just cancel their season? Can we go ahead and just true or false, just get the Super Bowl and say it's going to be Eagles and Bills?
No. Again, no. Chiefs are still in it to me. Your guys are still in it to me. Is there Indy, if they continue this, I mean, let me see them slow down first. No, I think there's a bunch of other teams. I think the Eagles are much closer to a lock in the NFC. They just look like a well-oiled machine. I mean, good luck. No, I'm going to say the AFC is still pretty open because I think the Bills are beatable. I don't love that Josh Allen has to do everything by himself all the time. That's not a repeatable formula to win. I mean,
their defense does get after quarterbacks, but he runs it, he throws it. The only thing he doesn't do is catch it himself. But Josh Allen's just a stud.
Yeah, I don't love how much he has to do by himself. I don't know. In an NFC or AFC championship game against the Chiefs again, if that's the formula, they've been able to figure it out the last couple of years. So, no, I'm going to say there's a couple of live dogs still.
Okay. All right, last one. Here we go. True or false, and I had it written down before you took it the word out the conversation. So, true or false, with a loss tomorrow, Falcons still have a chance to turn the season around. I changed the question because I had those two words in it. We're not using those today.
Just because I don't want to hear it from people. Like, Turtles, not technically a must-win game. I get it. So we use the word desperate instead. No. If they don't win this game tomorrow, I think it's a wrap. Because I think if they don't win tomorrow, then they're going to be 1-5. And if you're 1-5, there's zero shot. You're coming back. That's why I think this game is so important. Now, again, anything can happen. They can go out on Monday Night Football and beat Buffalo, and then the whole different conversation starts up again. But if I had to give my honest opinion, which is what I do here on 92.9 The Game, if they don't win tomorrow, I think they go 1-5. And if you're 1-5, it's all over. So, unfortunately, E, whether we use those two words or not, it is what it is. It is what it is. Good job on the true and false. We'll talk a little college ball, specifically SEC. LSU just getting underway. Again, if you missed it, not SEC, but Tech did manage to hold this one off, took it down to the wire against Wake Forest. Jeremy Johnson, Dogs HQ, is going to join me next, talk all things dogs and SEC. Right now, we got to switch gears and talk some dogs with our buddy Jeremy Johnson, recruiting writer for Dogs HQ. You can also check him out on Rivals and on Three Sports. Jeremy, let's look back before we look ahead. What were your thoughts on how the Tennessee game went and then that momentum leading into a bye week?
Yeah, that was – I mean, Georgia answered a lot of questions that I'm sure people had about the offense and Gunnar Stockton. I think it may have created a few more questions about the defense, though. And, you know, them finding a way to win that football game was huge for them. Just, you know, with everything that went wrong and, you know, defensively. And, you know, Tennessee, you know, played a really good game, had a really good game plan. And, you know, some of the things that went wrong, you know, to see go wrong with Georgia, especially on the back end with the, you know, the big, long mistakes that, you know, led to big touchdowns. But, you know, obviously seeing Gunnar Stockton make some big throws was also something that you have to be encouraged about. And, you know, they also got the running game going a little bit late in that game as well. So I think you answered some questions, but then you got some new ones that you got to answer this week.
Speaking of the defense, Ty Simpson and Alabama on offense have looked markedly better since that first week against Florida State. I know the opponents haven't been all-world opponents, but how much more does that go into consideration for the game prep?
Yeah, I mean, I think Coach Smart said it yesterday, Ty Simpson is one of the hottest quarterbacks in college football right now. And, you know, kind of watching him a little bit, it's like, oh, man, I didn't know he was playing like this. He's kind of done it really quietly, in my opinion. I hadn't really heard a ton about him. But, you know, they attack you differently than Tennessee does. I think Tennessee's more of a, you know, it's a different type of offense. It's probably the only time you'll see an offense like this. I mean, it's almost – it's not quite preparing for the wing tee, but it's – there's a lot of things just that are just so uncommon with what, you know, you see on a week-to-week basis. And, you know, Alabama's more of the traditional, you know, lineup, spread you out, pro-style offense that you see every week. So I don't think some of the things that Georgia struggled with last week will be a problem this week. I think the communication will probably be a little better just because they can, you know, there's a lot of film to kind of go back on with a system like this. More so, I think the thing will be with Georgia just making tackles. You know, Alabama has some really talented guys, and Ty Simpson isn't scared to get them the football. You know, Ryan Williams, that play last year that beat Georgia was a missed tackle. So, you know, I think that's kind of where it has to start. And, you know, being able to get in his face a little bit and hit him a little bit will kind of be, you know, where you kind of start the prep with Georgia when you think about Alabama's offense.
So when you get to a game like this, Kirby Smart teams are not known to come out sleepwalking much. It was a problem a couple of years ago, but for the most part, he always has his squads ready to go. How did he approach discussing it with you guys about making sure that something like that doesn't happen based on what Alabama's been doing?
Yeah, he's used the phrase start fast a lot this week. Just in the first two times we talked to him, you know, starting fans is kind of what they've been on all week, you know, and I think when you get down 28-0 to this team in particular, that kind of grabs your attention. They've had a whole week to kind of sit around and think about that too. So, and then last week, obviously the game against Tennessee wasn't much different, to be honest. I mean, you look up, you're 1-7 in the first quarter. So starting fast has kind of been the message this week. And I think, you know, they'll have all day to kind of sit around on Saturday and hype themselves up to make sure that they don't start slow. And I think that's probably the key to that game, because if you don't start slow, you know, if you take the first quarter out of both of those games, the Alabama game last year and the Tennessee game, Georgia has easy wins, you know. Not necessarily easy wins, but they win by a pretty wide margin other than the classics that they became.
Any suggestion that there'll be any change to the running game in terms of carries, in terms of distribution, or you think they're going to just try to get it fully, fully back on track with the game plan that they have?
Yeah, I think you'll see, you know, I think they'll use Gunner a little bit in the run game a little more. I think you'll see Nate Frazier. Maybe Josh McRae gets a few more carries this week. You know, he had 2 touchdowns last week. He's starting to get a little healthier, get a little more in shape, you know, after missing a lot of camp. So I think you'll see a lot of what you saw. Dwight Phillips, who kind of went out last week late in that game. He's back kind of healthy. I don't expect him to miss any time. So, you know, they have their full stable, and I think, you know, they'll continue to try to run the football. I mean, that offensive line has to get healthy. I mean, that's kind of been the thing up front, and that's an impact at the run game for sure.
Are you surprised that the combination tight end group, Lawson Lucky and Oscar Delp, They've been productive, but maybe not the, you know, regarded as maybe the best 1-2 punch at tight end in the nation so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of look at the production offensively. I think that's something that is definitely, I mean, it definitely kind of surprises me because both of those guys are, you know, really good pass catchers. But I think they've done a lot of things where they're not being asked to catch the ball as much as they might have been in the past. I think, you know, when you have Zachariah Branch and you have, you know, Kobe Young playing the way he is right now, I think you kind of stick with the guys that are kind of, you know, rolling right now. And I think those two are rolling in the pass game, and I think that could be different this week. You know, you don't want to, you know, as Georgia's offense, you don't want to pigeonhole yourself to say, hey, these are the guys. But I think this week is definitely an opportunity for Oscar Delp and Lawson Luck. I think Lawson had a touchdown in the game last year, and I think, you know, he has an opportunity to do something similar this week.
What do you make of the announcement of the new permanent SEC opponents for Georgia?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I get the South Carolina being, you know, a little bit closer than maybe Tennessee or Kentucky. I think everybody kind of thought Kentucky would be the team that you would get there, and I think it would have made a lot of sense. But, you know, that rivalry, you know, I've grown up watching the SEC and watching, you know, college football. Like, that's a natural rivalry, and I think, you know, I don't think people realize how much of a rivalry that South Carolina and Georgia is. So, it's going to be interesting. You know, I don't think, you know, it's as big of a deal as I think it's been made out to be. You know, as long as the Florida and the Auburn games are protected, I think most people are going to be pretty happy with it.
Talking all things dogs with our buddy Jeremy Johnson. Make sure you check him out, Dogs HQ Rivals, as well as On Three Sports. Through a couple of weeks here, what do you make of the state of the SEC in general? I think LSU is where they are, but I think they could be right for the picking if that offense doesn't pick up. I think there's been a couple of pleasant surprises. You look at a team like A&M. How are you sizing up the conference?
Yeah, the conference is it feels like the NFL, because I don't think you have that team that you just circle and say, hey, this is the team that's going to win the SEC. And I think there are a few that you kind of start. Obviously, you put Georgia up there, and you put Texas up there, and you put, I mean, even Texas A&M up there, and that's where you kind of start the conversation. But then you look at some of these other teams. I mean, obviously LSU could be in that conversation as well. You look at the Ole Misses, the Missouri, even Tennessee. You know, that group is as competitive as I think it's been in the last 10 years. And then you even get down to Vanderbilt and, you know, Arkansas. These are good football teams that have a chance to beat anyone on any given day. I don't know if we've had that, you know, and I don't know if I could have said that 10 years ago for a lot of these programs, and there's no give-me's anymore. So, you know, when you start to try to figure out who's going to be in Atlanta, I don't think necessarily, you know, you're going to see the two teams that are going to be ranked the highest. I think this may be a year where the two teams in Atlanta are ranked 8th and 9th or 12th just because of the in-conference records, you know, just how that stacks up. And, you know, the conference championship game will be a chance to get a bye in the playoff, but I just wonder how it's going to shake out with, you know, some of these teams like Georgia and Texas that, you know, if they suffer a loss here or there and just don't make the conference championship game, where they kind of fit into the playoff picture.
What have you seen from the offense in LSU? What's going on with Nussmeier and company? Why haven't they been able to be explosive like everybody thought?
I think they're just trying to find who their guys are in the passing game at the receiver position. Obviously, you know, they've had guys, and that's kind of been their thing, you know, over there, is that they've had elite wide receivers. They had another good one last year with Kyron Lacy, and, you know, they don't really have that guy that has emerged yet. And I don't know if they can really run the ball yet to be able to set up some of that stuff. So you got people kind of sitting back there, making sure they don't give up the explosive. So, you know, in the SEC and in college football at this point, you kind of have to earn. You have to earn those explosives. You have to make people respect your run game enough to where you can get them to come up, or you have to have a guy good enough to create plays after the catch, because there's not a whole lot of space when you can stop your run game with 7 and 6 guys.
So when it comes to the state of the conference right now, everybody continues to get all their hot takes out about Arch Manning. He has looked like he's been improving, Jeremy, but again, not against elite competition. Have you seen growth in him from the Ohio State game until now?
You know, I think there has been. I do think that, you know, expectations were I mean, we all knew this and we all still did it, you know. It was like one of those things, like we all knew this was going to happen, where it was going to be, he was going to have these amazing expectations and then he was going to not live up to them, and then we're going to have a real conversation about what he is. And I think this is where we are now. And I think he can be a really good quarterback, and I do think he can help Texas win. But the growth has to come with what they are asking him to do. They have to figure out ways to use him and not try to make him Quinn Ewers or try to make him Eli Manning or Peyton Manning. He's not those guys, and that's okay because he's a really good, talented football player. I think, you know, Texas can lean on that run game a little more and, you know, open him up to being a, you know, more on the run and moving around the pocket guy, because he's a big guy and he's an athletic guy. So, you know, I think his growth kind of comes with what Texas's offense tries to morph into throughout the season.
You think Florida should consider giving DJ Lagway some time off? He doesn't look right. He doesn't look in shape. He just looks a little lost out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to see because it's just like that dude is just, I mean, he's one of the highest recruited guys they've had to come through that program in a while. But things are just not going good around him right now. I mean, he's been banged up and he's been getting hit, and it's just, Maybe. I mean, you don't want to send that message to your football team, like, hey, we're going to sit this guy out. Because I'm sure there's guys on that team that are also dealing with it, and they're going to be expected to play. But for a young quarterback, I mean, no matter what happens with Florida this season, their success is tied to what DJ Lagway becomes over the next 2 years. So you want to make sure he's right, and you want to make sure he's getting positive experiences and building – you don't want him just out there on the football field just to get experience. You would want him to be putting in building blocks for whatever comes by the time the spring comes. Hey, putting bad stuff on tape doesn't necessarily help his development long term. So, you know, he's got some bad habits that he's kind of developing because he's not 100%. And, you know, that's definitely a conversation you probably have to have if you're down there in Gainesville.
All right, before I let you go, use your crystal ball for me. We'll check in on this as the season progresses, Jeremy, as we're wrapping up with Jeremy Johnson on 92.9 The Game. Who will have the better record when they meet in the final week of the season, Georgia Tech or Georgia?
Oh, man. Putting me on the spot. It's gonna be really close. I think, man, today I will say Georgia Tech. Today I will say Georgia Tech because Georgia's schedule is – you looked up, you got Alabama this weekend, you got to go to Auburn, you got to play Ole Miss, you got Texas coming in, and that's a gauntlet. And Georgia Tech's kind of, they've gotten through their meat for a while. You know, obviously the ACC provides you with a challenge every week, and, you know, that's a football team that has had opportunities like this in the past, and they've lost the games you would expect them to win. But if they get through, you know, this rest of their schedule and get there to Atlanta, I mean, they got a chance to be 11-0, you know, 10-1 at the worst, you know. So, I mean, Georgia may be coming in at 10-1. So, I think Georgia Tech has a shot. I think it's a real conversation we have to have now.
Yeah, and that's exactly why we asked. I won't hold you to it, but we will ask you again each time we come on as we get closer. Appreciate it, Jeremy. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. I appreciate you.
That is Jeremy Johnson there of Dogs HQ. When we get back, Raheem Morris met the media this week and spoke on all the big changes going on around Flowery Branch. We'll let you hear what he had to say about Zach Robinson, the state of the kicking competition, about getting the wide receivers and the tight ends, the rock, and a lot more. Don't miss it. Hear from Coach Ra exclusively here on 92.9 The Game, coming up next. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 6:30 leading into Atlanta United. Pregame 5-stripe countdown coming your way. And then the match will kick off shortly thereafter. E, you had mentioned before we let you hear from Raheem Morris that you had been traveling, bouncing around the Northeast One thing I definitely miss, not that the food here down south isn't amazing, and I've learned to love my southern comfort foods and all the great spots here in Atlanta, but what were some of the best meals you had going back home?
Well, the first thing, or one of the first things I always do when I'm back in the Northeast is I get a cheesesteak, because I don't know what folks think a cheesesteak is down here in the South, but it's not. It's just such a difference. And then me and my mom went to a place called Roy's Quick Corner. She got cream of crab soup, and I got just the regular crab soup. It's a different, you know, the cream of crab, the white cream-based, and I got the more of the vegetable-based, and was absolutely delicious. And that was it. And then, of course, when I was up in New England, of course, you know, I was with Johanna. She was like, well, you got to get some great fresh seafood while you're here. I'm like, but we didn't. We had sushi instead. But you can't get – even though there are places, yes, you can get fresh seafood in the South.
It's just, no chowder?
It's not the same. No, I didn't get any chowder. I'll probably get some of that next time. I went right past Fenway. I went right past –
not quite cold enough for the chowder.
No, not yet. I guess not. I've never – one of my to-dos – I've never been to Lobster Fest in Maine. That's something I've really got to do. I've always wanted to do that. So had a good time.
Yeah, that's awesome. I always try to have a little slice of home. Whenever I've been able to go back, that's one of the main things I try to do is hit up at least one of my old spots just to get that little slice of home when you go back. And I'm sure that's something a lot of people here can relate to, no matter where you're from. We know the A is one of the biggest transplant cities in the entire country, so I've met people from all over and international as well. You know, it's funny, just a weird sidebar. As most of you know by now, I do not have a car because I live close. I walk to work every single day. I live right next to the Fox Theater. So anytime I need to go out of town, I take an Uber. So I've had so many Ubers where the driver is a French speaker, and I speak pretty passable French. Like, mm-hmm. I could have a, you know, I couldn't get into War and Peace, but I could, you know, basic conversation. And it's been pretty crazy to see how many French speaking, and not just from France, from different parts of Africa, from parts of
Haiti,
you know, all over the world. So that's been really cool to see all of those cultures. All right, enough stalling. Let's hear from Raheem Morris. The first thing he talked about, Zach Robinson moving down to the field. Coach, what do you have to say?
We'll move Zach down to the field to be able to get that little cleaner communication for him, to be able to get it to him if something does happen along those lines, to be able to be more visual and see the quarterback and be able to do some of those different things, to have him have a clear line of communication with Mike to be able to help him out a little bit more. And we definitely hold some responsibility in those things, and we'll go out and do those things. So we'll correct those things this week. We'll correct them throughout the process. It's how we practice. It's how we do walkthroughs. It's how we do everything else. So we'll get Zach closer.
Yeah, we'll see if it has any tangible benefit coming up. You'll hear my conversation with Dan Orlovsky, and I asked him about that, and he had some really good insight about the advantages of a coordinator being down on the field, as he obviously was an NFL quarterback for a long time himself, and he spoke about all those different advantages, and Raheem Morris did as well. He talked about what the potential benefits could be to having him on the field.
I think it's just communication that Zach can, you know, kind of get across down in the field. You know, that's how we practice. That's how we do our walkthroughs. That's how we do every single thing on the field. Those two got a great relationship, you know, out in the practice field, out in the game day, out on everything. So, like getting them closer to the action, getting them closer to the environment, getting them closer to the play caller, getting them closer to all those guys, being able to get the reactions and get a feel for what the temperament is on the grass as well. I think all would be helpful. And that will happen. That happened today throughout our process.
We'll see, because there's been a lot going on. There's been timeout issues again coming out of commercial breaks, which to me is like the most unacceptable thing you could do in the NFL. That's happened multiple times this season. There's been communication issues in the headset. There's been play calling issues, and there's been issues. Maybe the second biggest one is getting up to the line with no time left and not being able to go through your progressions and your reads and your delineations for the defense in a timely manner, and everything being rushed for Michael Penix Jr. And that may be a big reason why he's rushed. His footwork has been sloppy, and he's had some miscues early in the season. We'll see if it makes a difference with Zach Robinson down on the field. I hope so. I mean, again, we just talked to Toby Alitzer. If you missed that conversation, it's just search Chris Thomas Tonight anywhere you get your podcasts. And he was saying, listen, You got a couple of vets in there, Von Miller and Bobby Wagner. The secondary's a little banged up, so it's not like the Falcons shouldn't be able to take advantage of Washington, but heck, we said that about Carolina last week, right? What about the kicking competition? Nothing decided yet for tomorrow. Raheem Morris indicated they'd bring in more competition, and that's exactly what they did.
We got to bring competition in, you know, and like, that's what we got to do. You know, you have to do that until you get it right. You cannot allow that to be the reason to have this stuff happen, right? You know, like, we went 5-5 the week before, you went 0-2 this week, and you got to bring competition, and that's something we'll be working diligently at.
Yeah, and they did, and we'll see if it's Parker Romo again. We'll see if the other guy gets a start. Ben Strauss from Pittsburgh is the guy that they brought in. He was in competition over there, but they have Boswell, one of the best kickers in the league. If you remember, he went 6-for-6 to start the 2024 season against the Falcons, so he wasn't needed. So he's here now. We'll see who they give the nod to. Listen, it's just so simple. Just go out and make the kicks, man. It's really not difficult. It's really not. 404-726-0929. Coach, what about the wide receivers and the tight ends? Zero touchdowns through three games. How do we fix it?
I hate to say frustration, but their frustration comes from team goals, like winning. And the frustration came from yesterday not, you know, putting ourselves in position to win. We definitely want the touchdown passes. We definitely want to run it in. We definitely want touchdowns, period. We didn't play well in the red zone versus Minnesota, and we got to get better there. And yesterday, we didn't get many opportunities to put ourselves in position to play well enough to win that football game. So the frustration comes from the team goals, from these guys. Like, they're team-oriented guys, man. They have been. They always will be. We got a bunch of really high-character people on our offense and defense special teams.
I mean, you could be as team-oriented as you want, Rob, but if you're, you know, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Darnell Mooney, and you don't have any touchdowns yet, thrilled would not exactly be the term I would think would be used to describe that. I mean, again, the only passing touchdown this team has this season is because of a 50-yard screen pass that Bijan Robinson took to the house. That's it. That's it. Through three NFL games. It's almost hard to believe. Coach Morris was talking about how this week he was going to work with Michael Penix, get him to where he needs to be to hopefully have a bounce back game after the disastrous start last week.
I don't want to say curious, because I know he's going to respond, because, you know, being around him, I know how he is. I know what he is. I mean, he's a big time competitor. So, like, I'm actually looking forward to it. Like, you never want to say you're happy it happened, but I can't wait to see the response. I'm actually more encouraged with Michael Penix's behavior today and his movement today for this franchise and for our team than ever. Like, I can't wait until Wednesday.
And Wednesday came and went, and all reports were everything was fine. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter until you get to tomorrow, right? He could have looked like, you know, the second coming of Joe Montana in practice this week, but it doesn't matter till you hit the field. You know, all reports out of camp was Penix looked amazing. So what happened in two out of the three games this season, right? So I appreciate Ra's positivity as always, but, you know, he could have looked, again, great this week in practice, but if it doesn't translate again to on the field, then what's it all for? He was talking about prepping for whoever plays at quarterback this week. We now know it's going to be Marcus Mariota, but sort of a similar game plan regardless of who was in there, Coach.
Very similar players. You know, obviously, Jaden's very special with his ability and what he did last year. And obviously, we know Marcus was the number one pick too, right? Number two. You know, number two pick also. So we know what Marcus has. Marcus was in his building before. Got a lot of respect for Marcus and what he was able to do yesterday. And so they'll run their offense. It'll be very similar to what they do. You know, obviously, one's younger, more dynamic. But one had that young, dynamic self about him as well. And you're talking about a guy that can go out and win football games for you, you know, obviously.
Yeah, and he's right. They are similar style. Jaden Daniels is obviously younger and more physically gifted than Mariota, but they're going to try to do a lot of the same things, to Coach's point, and that includes running the ball. So it's going to be up to the defensive line and the linebackers to show out and have a good game. Coming up at the top of the hour, my conversation with Dan Orlovsky. Don't miss that. Great insight on his viral breakdown of the Falcons and what they need to do to get Michael Penix right. Raheem Morris did admit this week after the game it was frustrating to see them play that way.
It was extremely frustrating yesterday, Zeno. You know, I would be an absolute liar to tell you that that wasn't frustrating yesterday. So to see that happen at that level was extremely frustrating. To see what happened, we went through the losing streak last year, was extremely frustrating. So those are the two that I'll talk about. You know, those moments when you know you're capable of being better and you know you're capable of your team being better are extremely frustrating, for sure.
Well, it's good that he admitted it at least, right? Because he didn't try to take the arrogant route, or he didn't try to, you know, say everything's fine and, you know, sky's not falling and Chicken Little and all that other stuff. He admitted it. He said it right there in the clip. You know, listen, that was an extremely frustrating game, and you need to be able to. I said this week that we were going to hear this phrase, and we heard it on Wednesday from the coaches, and that's just flush it. You got to just flush a game like this, because if you start trying to nitpick, you'll be there forever, because nothing worked. Offense, defense, special teams, kicking, nothing worked. So, again, this is just a game that you say our game plan is going to work more often than not, so we're going to stick to it, and we're going to flush it. One more from Coach. He talked about the decision to move on for Mike Hilliard.
Yeah, performance-based, just like everything in his business that you want to make those decisions on. We're going a different direction, going in that direction with moving TJ into that room, being able to get some of the things that we need to get done in there as far as the detail, all the things that we want to get done in there from a bigger scale of our offense and getting better and doing all those different things. So tough decisions, people business, hard for me, hard for the organization. You know, hard on Ike's family, but decision I felt I needed to make at this time, and we did.
Yeah, I mean, Coach, what else is he going to say there, right? 404-726-0929. We'll see if it makes a difference. Again, zero touchdowns for the wide receivers in the tight end group through three games. So it can't be any worse. So hopefully starting tomorrow, it gets better, and guys like Mooney and Drake and Pitts find the end zone for the first time this season. All right, that was Coach throughout the week, speaking a couple of different times on all the important topics. Zach Robinson moving to the field, Ike Hilliard being let go, the kicking competition, the tight ends and the receivers needing to step up. We got you covered on all things Falcons on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we get back, speaking of Dan Orlovsky, if you missed that conversation, we're going to bring it back for you. He joined me on Thursday. It was insightful, enlightening, and really, really well done following his also really well done viral breakdown of the Atlanta Falcons on ESPN. So special treat coming up for my Saturday audience. Dan Orlovsky explains to all of us what's wrong with the Falcons. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.